Hi, this is Dr. Bud Pierce, and welcome to Oregon Crossroads, where we talk about all public policy matters. But of course, right now, we are still embroiled, enmeshed in the coronavirus pandemic. And let me start off by saying, from a medical point of view, things are going extremely well in the state of Oregon. In the state of Oregon, our hospitals are being emptied of COVID-19 pandemic patients because there are fewer and fewer patients. Our intensive care units, again, are at a low level of patients because they're not sick and they're not there. So that's going very, very well. In Oregon, our death rate is 78 patients, 19 per million. 19 people have died per million. Every life is precious. We grieve every loss, but that's a low number. In New York, 1,000 per million. If we had the New York incidence of deaths, we would have had 4,000 deaths in Oregon. Now we have 78. And again, that's what we all feared. That's what you feared. That's what the medical people feared. But it hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. We're at our peak point now, and the peak is a molehill. And that's good. That's what we all worked so hard for. So today I had the pleasure of rounding in the hospital as I always did. The whole attitude has changed. Several weeks ago, fear, not knowing what we're facing. Staff very professional, but really wound up, really, really intense. Again, we had this army of women and men. Remember, the women are leading us in this because there's more of them, way more of them. Doctors, nurses, ancillary staff. There was a lot of tension. They were going about their job professionally, but you could feel it. It was palpable. Today, when I rounded, calm down, back to normal. I can assure you that if you happen to get sick, and you won't, but if you get sick with whatever befalls you, you have a caring professional staff and resources waiting to take care of you. You'll get great care. It's gonna be okay. So we're doing really, really well. And I think we all know that and we sense that. Now let's talk a little bit about what we really know about our situation, because there's a lot of news out there and supposition and where we are. But let me give you what I understand. And again, remember, as always, this is Bud Pierce talking. I have a lot of affiliations. I don't speak for anyone other than me, and I'm just trying to tell you what I see in my day-to-day living. So the coronavirus it looks like it's a virus that mutated out of the bat population, bats that fly, no bats. And these mammals carry coronavirus, and the virus is doesn't bother the bat. And probably some years ago, the current COVID-19 virus that's infecting us now was a mutant of another bat virus that the bat was carrying. And we know this because the current virus is about 98% identical to a currently identified virus in a bat population. It's only about 70 or so plus percent identical to the SARS COVID virus. So it mutated out of there. And it looks like the first cases were a lot earlier than when the disease was identified. And that makes sense because it takes several weeks or a month or so to get the disease if you get the virus. So at least out of China, they think they can identify a case as early as December 1st, and that had nothing to do with the wild animal market. But then what happens is, as the virus gets into the animal population, the animals move around society, there are certain places that amplify the virus and its effect, and that wild animal market in Wuhan is probably where the virus got amplified. And soon after that, it was all over China. So you have cases early in December, had nothing to do with the market, the wild animal market. By January, it's spreading all over China, and by the end of January, it's all over China. It looks like the American cases we're pretty certain that people are getting infected early in February, because we have cases from actual disease cases from California. It looks like in New York, there were 600-700 people that were unknowingly infected a month before the first cases showed up in New York in March. So again, fitting with the pattern that a lot of people carry this asymptomatically and don't get sick. And we know this. We know this because on the aircraft carrier where the sailors got sick, 500-600 of them sick. Most of them don't even know it. One unfortunately died. But again, lots of asymptomatic people carrying this infection around. And people that are on cruise ships, aircraft carriers, nursing homes, or in densely packed cities are more apt to get infected. And that's what we know about the disease. We also know that the most vulnerable people are the older people and the people with health problems like diabetes, lung disease, obesity. Those are the conditions that are associated with getting a bad case and actually passing away. So that's what we know right now. What about testing? Well, if you have a positive test where they stick the swab through your nose and into your throat, which is, we're hoping to get easier tests. If you come up with a positive test, That's, you can believe it. A positive test, you can believe it. What about a negative test? Well, what if they miss it? What if the way they stuck it in your nose didn't really get to the right place? So a positive test is certain, a negative test, questionable. We're very interested in knowing about immunity. Have we been exposed? It's clear that people are, a lot of people are exposed and don't even know they have the disease. That's really not well worked out now. We have tests drawn from the blood that can show that you had been exposed to the virus. Accuracy is varying. What does that mean? Of some of the positive people, they don't have it. The test isn't that accurate. And people that are showing negative, they have had it. So that test is really not so accurate now. And that's why you're not seeing yet widespread adaptation. So that's really not where we are right now. So that's kind of the setting of where we are. In terms of drug therapies, still an evolution. You know, whether or not the antimalarial drugs are going to be useful, some of the antiviral drugs, research is coming out. I would just say that right now, when people are very sick, they're getting treated on protocol, they're getting blood products, people that have had the disease, they're giving them their serum and that kind of thing. And certainly over the next few months, we'll have a lot better idea of where we are in all of this. So again, that's kind of where we are right now. The disease is ramping down as predicted by most people as the spring and summer occur. I know there was some discussion, well, this isn't going to be affected by seasons. Probably will be. Because again, coronaviruses, even this one, tend to impact us more in the fall than in the winter. And so that leads us to the discussion of what about the second wave? Look at the other pandemics in history, mostly influenza. Remember, as I discussed last week, the 1890 pandemic may have been a coronavirus. They always talk about 2 years, 1918 to 1919, 2008 to 2009, or 2009, 2010 with the swine flu. Always this two-year thing. So what about that? Is there going to be a second wave this fall? And maybe. There may be. If you look at it, it seems that people and these viruses reach an equilibrium over 6 to 18 months, whether or not anything can be done. Whether or not anything can be done, there's an equilibrium reach. It doesn't go on and on and on and on. So that's going to happen. But we're very interested in mitigating negative effects this fall and this winter. And remember, in the past pandemics, other than the swine flu, no one knew what to do. There wasn't a lot of effort. There was a vaccine to try to take on the swine flu in 2008, 2009. But we're really ramping up. So if another wave comes, we're certainly going to have much more effective and easier viral testing. We're certainly going to be able to test for immune status, at least what that means. And we will certainly have some forms of treatment available. And we may or may not have a vaccine available. But again, knowing nothing in the past, just being hopeful, these things tend to pass in 6 to 18 months. They tend to be two-year events. So that's the expectation. But we're going to work really hard to mitigate any bad happening this fall and winter. So I would kind of think about that again in a very positive way. We're getting through this at a much lower death rate, certainly in Oregon, and a much lower effect on our society than we had been worried about. And it's very likely that that whole good outcome will carry forward into the fall and winter. And actually, we don't even know if this virus will have a second wave. It probably will, but we actually don't even know that. But we will certainly be ready, because we weren't ready for this one. And you know what, in Oregon, we've done really, really well. So just keep that in mind. The final thing I'll comment on is the economic calamity. We're a very prosperous society. People work very hard. The reason we're prosperous is because of your hard work and all of our hard work. And we have lost some human capital. But remember, this disease tends to impact the older paid individuals who aren't our most productive workers because they've worked their whole life. We don't want to lose them, but they're not our most productive workers. And we haven't lost a lot of people. We're talking about 50,000 people by this weekend have died of this virus out of a population of 320 million. That's not a lot of people in terms of our economic ability to recover. Also, we haven't lost our infrastructure. We still have our infrastructure that's stable. I actually go out and see patients every Friday in Lincoln City now, oncology patients. And when I drive back, I always marvel at how everything seems to be set in place. The structures and the vehicles, so that as soon as people want to get back to work, they can get back in there and get back to work. So there's a fear out there, and that's going to slow our recovery, but that's natural. There should be fear after what people have been through. But I can assure you that as we get more confidence, we see that we can control this, that this is actually not something that threatens us in a very serious way going forward, that we're going to have a great handle on it, we'll get back to work, and we'll get back to our prosperity. So be positive. Be optimistic. Oregon is in a great place. We have done very well with this. There's no sign that we're going to have a upsurge in cases. We believe we're at the peak right now, and the peak is a molehill, and that's a great thing. And that as soon as the other cities calm down, the other states calm down, that we'll be getting back to our life. Maybe not as it was, but certainly it's going to be a great life. And some of the things we've had to do during this pandemic can be brought forward and incorporated into our regular living and can enhance our lives. So have a great weekend. Be safe. Great talking to you.